ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट नंबर 28 ऑन द ऑस्पिशियस ओकेजन ऑफ वामन द्वादशी एष दानव दैत्यानां अग्रणी कीर्तिवर्धन अजयशीत अजयां मायां सीदन अपि न मुह्यति. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj has become the most famous among the demons and non-believers. For in spite of being bereft of all material opulences, he is fixed in his devotional service. Purport. In this verse, the words, Sidhan api na muhyati, are very important. A devotee is sometimes put into adversities while executing devotional service. In adversity, everyone laments and becomes aggrieved. But by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee, even in the worst condition, can understand that he is going through a severe examination by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj passed all such examinations, as explained in the following verses. Hare Krishna. So on the occasion of most auspicious appearance day of Lord Vamanadev, I would like to briefly speak about his appearance and his reciprocation with Bali Maharaj from the 8th canto. So this verse is very wonderful, and it is spoken by Lord Vamanadev after he subjects Bali Maharaj to a severe exam. So nowadays the season of Bhakti Shastri exam is going on. So many candidates, they are studying very hard, taking leaves, putting all their effort. So the system of exam is there as a standard method for evaluation, by which one can understand how much the lesson has been absorbed. Sometime in the 80s, in America, they had started a system that exams create too much anxiety. Let us have a schooling system without exam. And they had such a system for some time. The children would go to school, play all day, learn whatever they wanted. If they didn't want to learn, they were not forced to learn. And in this way, few years was spent. And then the parents realized after a few years that the children have practically not learned anything because there is no pressure. So here, the ultimate achievement for the conditioned soul is to go back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. So Krishna has kept a system of evaluation to finally pass candidates and allow them to enter into the spiritual abode. And for the benefit of the soul himself. Because if anyone goes into a place without qualification, then he is going to be more bewildered and is going to create disturbance in the system where he is entering without that qualification. Right? If somebody has not got certain percentage of marks and somehow he is put into a certain college, then we find that his 4-year engineering sometimes goes into 8-year BTEC, or sometimes his 5 years MBBS goes into 8-10 years MBBS. So he is in anxiety, he is miserable, and all the other professors and teachers and all the other colleagues, whole generation passes and he is still there because the qualification is not there. So therefore, here in this past time, the Lord is demonstrating that one needs qualification to go to the spiritual world. And one of the most important qualifications is one should be grateful in accepting all kinds of situations in the material world and thank the Lord, saying that, yes, this is for my purification. So the extreme example is shown in the life of Bali Maharaj. And Lord Vamandev is demonstrating through this pastime that the same principle applies in every situation. You have to choose between the truth, the absolute truth, and the relative truth, which according to Krishna in the second chapter is like a falsehood only. So we always have this choice to choose between reality and illusion. So here Bali Maharaj is tested. And in the test, Shukracharya represents the forces of illusion. And Lord Vamandev is representing the forces of truth. So just like Arjuna was caught in the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the same two forces. And Krishna says in Gita, Yada yadahi adharma dharmasya glanir bhavati abhyutthanam adharma. So to decide between dharma and adharma, between reality and illusion, truth and falsehood, that is the test of every candidate in spiritual life. So before we enter into that ultimate abode of the Lord, we will have to go through multiple tests every moment. And this pastime demonstrates how Bali Maharaj is tested and how he makes the right choices. But that choice comes at a very great price. So we should be in a position to pay that price. So that we'll see in this wonderful pastime. So it is described, Shronayam Shravana Dvadashyam Muhurte Abhichitoh Prabhu. On the Dvadashi, Lord Vamandev appeared as the son of Aditi and Kashyap. So the Lord appears in reciprocation of the demigod's prayers and in order to restore the balance in the universe, to establish dharma. And for every appearance, there is a specific cause, specific purpose, and the Lord takes a form accordingly. So the Lord has taken the form of a Batu, of a Brahmana dwarf boy. So here it is described that the Lord appears in the form of a Vamana Vatu Sampashyato Divya Gatir Yathanata. Just like an actor changes various dresses according to the role he has to play, the Supreme Lord appears in different forms and roles for specific purposes. So when he appears, immediately all the great demigods come forward, and Brihaspati, the great teacher of the demigods, offers the sacred thread. Surya, personified, he gives the Gayatri mantra. Kashyap Muni gives the straw belt. Mother Earth comes forward and gives the deer skin. Chandra gives the kamandalu. Indra gives the umbrella. And Saptarishis, they give the Kusha grass. And in this way, the Supreme Lord Vamanadev, in his most beautiful form, having golden complexion, golden hair, he is standing with a beautiful kamandalu. Anyone who would see would mistake him to be an ordinary, small, dwarf Brahmana boy. So now, as soon as he appears, he decides to go to Bhrigu Kachcha, the place where Bali Maharaj is performing a great sacrifice on the bank of Narmada River. So all the demigods have surrounded him. they're worshipping him, offering all kinds of respects to him, glorifying him. But he is very much focused on his mission. So he does not stop any longer to accept any more worship, but being focused on his mission, proceeds forward, goes ahead to perform his next role. And that is a very important principle, that the Lord has appeared to demonstrate that in every situation we must be focused on our duty. And there will always be various kinds of temptations and difficulties to try to deviate us from the path of duty. And that is exactly what Arjuna was going through. That there was his duty, and there were certain forces which were preventing him from performing his duty. And when Arjuna asked Krishna, what is that? Krishna said, Kama Esha Krodha Esha. That is desire, which is independent of the service to the Supreme Lord. So before Lord Vamandev tests Bali Maharaj, Lord Vamandev himself is demonstrating a high sense of duty immediately, without wasting any time, without waiting to perform any childhood pastimes with Aditi and Kashyap. Immediately he leaves. And that is an interesting aspect of Krishna Leela, that generally in all the other pastimes, most of these other incarnations, Krishna comes for a very specific purpose. And practically instantaneously after his appearance, he gets into his job. Like Narsingadeva appears from the pillar. There is no concept of Bal Leela for Narsingadeva. He don't have deity of Bal Narsinga. He appears, does his job, and then he's so ferocious and makes such a scene that practically everyone is shivering. So here we find that Vamandev immediately goes to that spot, and Bali Maharaj and all the other sages who are assembled there, they are wonderstruck to see his effulgent personality. Bali Maharaj approaches him and offers him a seat, washes his lotus feet, and sprinkles that water of his Charanamrit upon his head. And then he makes an offer to the Supreme Lord, Vamanadeva. And he says, Gam Kanchanam Gunavadhamam Rishtam Tathanapayam Madurashtakanyam. I offer you Gam, millions and millions of acres of land. All this earth and all the three planetary systems is mine. Please take this. Whatever you want is yours. So Bali Maharaj was a very, very powerful personality who, by the display of his power, with his skill, with his military army, he had conquered over all the three worlds. And not only was he in total control, but he was also extremely charitable. So he had a high degree of character, and at the same time, he was very, very powerful. A very deadly combination indeed. And here he is offering unconditionally, take whatever you want. Gam, Kanchanam, and gold, and Gunavat Dhamam Rishtam. All kinds of opulent household filled with nice paraphernalia, beautiful palaces, I offer to you. And Tathanna Payam Utava Viprakanyam. And I offer you the best kind of food and drink. Viprakanyam, and marriage with all kinds of beautiful girls. And then he says, Gramam Samraddham Turagan Gajanva. Or if you're not interested in this, generally, a person, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and depending on the kind of propensity he has, he finds different things attractive. So if someone is a Vaishya, he finds money very attractive. If someone is Kshatriya, he finds control, sovereignty over lands to be very attractive. So depending on that, he's saying, okay, take all of this. Gramana samruddhan turagan gajanva. Or if you want, you can take horses, you can take elephants. All of this is yours. And ratham tatarhattama samprayuktam. Or if you want, you can take unlimited chariots with the best horses. So in this list, practically anyone within this material world, especially in Kali Yuga, who is working very hard to achieve, is there in this list. All of that which one is aspiring for, land, property, wealth, good food, good wife, nice family, all of this is being offered by Bali Maharaj to Vamana Deva. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this was the kind of standard in the Vedic system, that when a Brahmana would come, the Kshatriya would make the offer. So one of the lessons which the Lord wants to demonstrate through this pastime, one of the first lesson is, the Lord wants to reveal what is the real goal of life. Real goal of life is not amassing fortune, because Bali Maharaj has all of this. And this is the first principle. Nobody can imagine having property and the kind of control like Bali Maharaj. And if one spends his entire life and energy and time simply in controlling this, accumulating this, and one has very little time for self-realization. So this is the first lesson the Lord wants to demonstrate, that the human form of life is meant for self-realization and not for accumulating wealth unlimitedly. Because here we find that in Kali Yuga we are very, very insignificant compared to Bali Maharaj. Here he is talking of all the three planetary systems. Nobody is powerful enough even to control even one whole country. Practically all countries in the world running with coalition government. People coming together and somehow managing to control. So what to speak of such ultimate sovereignty which one cannot even imagine. So here he describes, Vamanadeva gives his reply. And he says, Vacham tavaitat naradeva sunratam kulochitam dharmayutam yashaskaram. What you have said is very true. And you are such a great personality that you are speaking perfectly according to dharma. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that Vamanadeva is glorifying Bali Maharaj's statements because they are true. They're according to the principles of dharma. And thirdly, they are in keeping with the family reputation of Bali Maharaj. So you may call Bali Maharaj a demon, but there was a certain standard, certain character, certain class. Right? Prabhupada said, Kali Yuga is full of demons, but you won't find anyone making such an offer. That anyone comes to the house for Janmashtami collection, okay, I offer you my house. Right? And most often we will take it also. But here, he is offering everything, and Vamandeva is saying, Yasya pramanam bhrigava samparaye. There are two symptoms by which one can understand that a person has a bright future. When he has good counsel for his material prosperity in this life, and when who has good counsel for spiritual prosperity after death. So if you have good guidance during this life of how to lead a life in accordance with religious principles, and you have good guidance on what to do after death, then your life is perfect. So most often people have neither of these. They depend on their own intelligence, own mind and understanding, and in this way create so many blunders. So Bali Maharaj had good counsel. Brigavaha Samparaye. The priests of Brigu dynasty They were giving him guidance on how to lead material life properly according to religious principles. So his material life was taken care of. And he says, Pitamaha Kulabruddha Prashanta. And his spiritual life was taken care because of the guidance of Pitamaha. Who is Pitamaha? Grandfather. And that is Prahlad Maharaj. So Shukracharya and all the other priests, they were taking care of his material life. And Prahlad Maharaj was taking care of his spiritual life because he was such a great Mahajan. So in this way, his material and spiritual life was taken care. So this shows that we may have the perfect arrangement within this material world, materially and spiritually. And the perfect arrangement may make us feel complacent that everything is going on fine. I have a good job. I have a good, you know, bank balance. I have planned out everything nicely. Things are going on smoothly. Materially, everything is smooth. But then, even with the best counsel, even with the best planning, if disaster has to strike, it can strike any moment. So here, Bali Maharaj's life is a picture of perfection. It is extremely rosy and peaceful at this point of time. But the Lord wants to demonstrate that one cannot be complacent within this material world, because anytime anything can happen in spite of all of one's planning. Like Badrinarayan Prabhu was explaining, when people say good morning, Prabhupada was in London, he said, what is the meaning of this good morning? And he said, good morning material world means nothing horrible has happened yet. That is the meaning of good morning. Otherwise, anytime, any disaster can strike. And then secondly, another interesting point Prabhupada brings up in the purport, that here is Bali Maharaj who had the guidance of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is supposed to be a great Mahajan. And the word used is Kulavriddha, is extremely old. So he has spiritual guidance right at home. But the point is, if Prahlad Maharaj is such an advanced soul, what is he doing in his old age with his family and with his grandsons? Because according to the system, you're supposed to take vanaprastha and renounce. And he's a Mahajan. And he's supposed to show to everyone what kind of life you're supposed to lead. So Prahlad Maharaj, instead of leaving his home, is still staying at home. So is that not a discrepancy? So Prabhupada points to another word in this verse, which is Prashanta. Kulavriddha Prashanta. Prahlad Maharaj is old, but he is peaceful. Peaceful means no agitation. Free from material desires. Free from material desires. And in this state only, one can be Prashanta. So Prabhupada says that if someone is on this state, then he can be in any material situation and he will not be affected. He will not be affected by this. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes this point that if you are qualified, then you may not even have to take sannyas. And there are certain things which Srila Prabhupada did, which normally, if someone does, he will not be able to take it and accept it, and his spiritual life will be affected. Like Srila Prabhupada was taking worship. But then, if one takes that kind of worship, then there is an effect. Like in Memories, I was reading yesterday, nice pastime. Prabhupada was sitting, he was passing through, you know, some streets in Paris. And then he just said that, I'm feeling very hot. So there was a nice tree next to the highway. So the devotees put a chair. And Prabhupada sat on that chair. And one devotee was moving chamara. And other one was moving peacock feather. And the cars were moving by full speed next to the highway. And it was the most astonishing sight in the West that right here, next to the road, there is an old man sitting on a chair and there are people who are offering, you know, chamar and peacock feather. And Prabhupada is peacefully sitting and someone offered a glass of water and Prabhupada was drinking. It was like a royal scene. And there was one passerby was walking by. Many walked past and they would take a second look. What is this scene? And one passerby couldn't stop. He just couldn't stop his expression. He just came near, looked at Prabhupada. He had his eyes wide. And then he said to Prabhupada, "What are you doing?" He just shouted. And Prabhupada just looked at him coolly, sipped his glass of water and said, "It is very hot." And then this man was flabbergasted and he went ahead. So you could not imagine that in normal circumstances anyone would even think of such an idea. Prabhupada was absolutely transcendental. So transcendental personalities, they are offered certain concession. And Prahlad Maharaj also comes in that category. And therefore Prabhupada writes in this purport that yes, he is Kulavriddha. So you can't quote this, that just see the example of Prahlad. He was also like that. No, Prashanta. He was absolutely free from any desires. So now, Vamandev starts glorifying Bali Maharaj and says that, "My dear Bali, you are coming from such an exalted family. What a lineage you have. And all of your forefathers were so closely related to Lord Vishnu. Like one of your grandfathers and granduncles, Hiranyaksha, he was so much aggressively fighting against Lord Vishnu that finally even Lord Vishnu got bewildered, how I can defeat him. But then this Hiranyaksha had some mercy on the Lord and allowed himself to be defeated. And what to speak of his brother, Hiranyakashipu, right? The Jiva, all of us know, is supposed to be eternally servant of Krishna. But this Hiranyakashipu was eternally angry against Lord Vishnu. And he had taken a vow that he will kill Lord Vishnu. And in this way, just to prevent that, the Lord himself had to appear. And then his son, and then now your father, Virochana." So all of these great personalities are your forefathers. And therefore, because you are coming in this such a great family, I have full hope that you will also perform something extraordinary. And what is that? "As far as I am concerned, I do not want all of this offer which you have made. I just want 3 steps of land." He says that Vrineham Varadarshabhat, you are Varadarshabhat, best amongst those who can fulfill all desires. So another very important lesson which the Lord wants to demonstrate through this pastime, the second lesson is that one must have the right qualifications to have material opulences. Material opulences by themselves are not wrong or not bad. But the question is, are you qualified and do you have the right attitude to deal with it? So here the Lord detected that Bali Maharaj, he may have some pride. And therefore, in order to make him humble, he was trying to demonstrate that, yes, if you have humility, then it is possible for you to control unlimited opulences and still not be affected. And therefore, the Lord appeared to teach this lesson that, yes, whatever kind of service we may do, big or small, the important thing is not the volume of the service, but what is important is the attitude which goes with the service. And therefore here, Bali Maharaj is offering him unlimited opulences. "Just see, I'm controlling all these opulences. Take it." And the Lord is saying, "No, no, I want only 3 steps of land." So that was Bali Maharaj's ego or identity, that I am the controller of so much. So even while performing service, we have a certain identity, a certain attachment, a certain ego. And therefore, when things happen which do not affect our ego, it doesn't hurt us so much. But what really hurts is something which really cuts at our very identity. So it is interesting that here is Bali Maharaj, who was the controller of all the lands. And therefore, Bali Maharaj began by asking him for 3 steps of land. So Bali Maharaj did not ask, Vamandev did not ask Bali Maharaj for knowledge, because that was not his identity. That was not his ego. His false ego is, I am the controller of the 3 worlds. I am the controller of all the lands. So Bali Maharaj wanted to Vamandev wanted to demonstrate that no, I will show who is the real controller. So he was exposing that false ego and bringing about the reality. And therefore we find that while performing devotional service, when we start identifying with certain service, then that ego comes in the way. And when there is some discrepancy, some problem, and that identity is affected, then that hurts us more than anything else. So this is a very important principle. So when he asked for 3 steps of land, Bali Maharaj, he objected. And he said, Tvam balo balishamati swartham prati abudoyata. You are asking for just 3 steps of land? What is this? It is an insult to me. Bali Maharaj was in the mood of a charitable giver. He was going to give this charity. And from his point of view, for someone to ask just 3 steps of land, that was like a major insult. And he said, maybe you are crazy, you are less intelligent. I think you do not know what is the right thing to ask for. So this word is very important, swartham prati abudho. Bali Maharaj is telling Vamandev, you do not know what is your real self-interest. What is your real self-interest? So most people in this world are not aware of that. And when they see devotees performing devotional service, renouncing so much of material opulence, and rather preferring the 3 steps of land of renunciation, they think this is crazy. You're giving up all of this and just going for this. It means swartham prati abudho. Somebody has brainwashed you. You do not know what is reality. Previously you were normal. Now you have become abnormal. Come down to reality. So here was Bali Maharaj who was making this kind of propaganda to Vamanadev. So Vamanadev, he said, actually, the ultimate goal of life is one must be satisfied. So he describes in a series of verses the glories of satisfaction. And then he says that if someone is not satisfied with 3 steps of land, even if he gets all the 3 worlds, he cannot be satisfied. So he says, what is the prerequisite for satisfaction? Sense control. Sense control and satisfaction go hand in hand. And unless one has sense control, one cannot achieve satisfaction. So this lesson he explains very clearly. And then he says that ultimately, if one is not satisfied, then he will continue to remain dissatisfied. And just like if you take drops of water and pour it on a blazing inferno, that drop of water simply extinguishes that fire. Similarly, whatever achievements and desires we may have, it is like blazing fire. But that sense of dissatisfaction and the feeling of dissatisfaction is like drops of water. And when it falls upon this spark, it just dampens the enthusiasm. extinguishes all our desire which we may have to serve. Therefore, satisfaction is a very important principle. So he says this, and then he concludes by saying that just give me these 3 steps of land only. So at this point, Shukracharya is hearing this conversation. And Shukracharya immediately understands what is happening. And he looks at Bali Maharaj and says that, hey, you cannot take his word seriously. You are saying you will offer him 3 steps of land. He will take all of these 3 steps of land, and ultimately all of the lands which you earn, he will take it. And he says in the verse, Dasyati achidya shakraya maya manavako hari. This is Hari who has appeared in a hidden form. And therefore he will simply take away all of your property and you will be bereft of all your possessions. So here, manavako hari means in the form of a human being, hidden. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna's name is Hari. He does take away, but what? Miseries. So therefore, another very important lesson which the Lord demonstrates through this pastime is, when you offer and give to Krishna, do not think you lose anything. When you sacrifice time, energy, money, property, effort for Krishna's service, there is no loss, there is only gain. Sometimes that sacrifice may bring about some pain, but that pain is ultimately for ultimate gain. And therefore here, Shukracharya is preaching exactly the opposite. Do not make this sacrifice. Do not give your energy. Do not give up your possessions to Vamanadeva. So therefore, Shukracharya here represents the entire forces of illusion and maya which prevent us from extending ourselves to give whatever we have to Krishna. We have a desire to give, but the mind from within says, no, do not give so much time for Krishna consciousness. Do not put so much of energy. Do not be so focused. You should be a little distracted. Then life will be balanced. So much focus is not good. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, what do all of you do for recreation? And Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means recreation. And therefore, when we practice the process of Krishna consciousness, the mind doesn't allow us to focus. Therefore, every time we try to induce the mind to focus on Krishna, give our consciousness to Krishna. Here was Bali Maharaj, who had promised to give 3 steps of land. So we come to spiritual life, take spiritual initiation and take vows. Here is Bali Maharaj who is making a vow. And there are forces which are testing his vows. Similarly, we should also know that whenever we take a vow in front of the deity of the Lord, in front of the Vaishnavas, in front of the Guru, in front of the whole parampara, that yes, I will chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles all through my life without fail. Like that. Then there will be forces which will come and tempt you. No, do not give so much of time. Do not chant so many rounds. Do not follow all the 4 principles. 3 is okay. 75% is still good. And once in a while, it is all right to break. You have anyway practiced for so many years, so strictly. So therefore, there will be temptation. Right? Like during initiation ceremony, one of the initiation ceremony, there was this candidate who came up and he was taking his vows and he was saying that I vow to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you know, all through my life, till my last breath. And Maharaj said, keep breathing. So that is our vow, that I will keep chanting till my last breath. But it is not easy, because after some time, the mind convinces us this process is boring. There is nothing new. Let's do something new. Right? So Shukracharya is there. The mind, he wants his share. He wants his sustenance. We have sustained, you know, this conditioned mind for so long. And we have been the submissive, willing disciple of the seminal guru, the mind, for so long that the mind doesn't accept changing gurus. Hey, you're neglecting me. And rather than giving me dakshina, you're hitting me with this Hare Krishna every day. You cannot escape. Come on, take this, take this. Don't make so many vows. So therefore, the mind is expert in convincing us in the philosophy of sense gratification. It is a personification. Shukracharya is personification of that, because he was offering sense gratification. And therefore, sense gratification doesn't come in a separate package. For sense gratification, as far as animals are concerned, they can simply gratify without having to answer anyone. But a human being has been given intelligence for using discrimination. Therefore, when human being does sense gratification, he needs to justify that sense gratification. And therefore, for every sense gratification, there is a philosophy. And therefore, all kinds of justifications are nothing but attempts to simply somehow continue with sense gratification. So therefore, Shukracharya was interested in sense gratification, but he had to have a philosophy for that. And therefore, justification is one of the biggest challenges and obstacles and roadblocks on the path of pure bhakti, because that not only prevents us from surrendering to Krishna, but also sucks us on the path of sense gratification. So here he says, okay, Shukracharya says that he gives a whole list of various reasons why he can refuse, you know. It's a long list. But then finally he shoots his Brahmastra and says that as far as lie is concerned, you may have taken a vow or you may have promised that I will give whatever you want. But in certain conditions, there are exceptions. And you are allowed, you are justified to speak a lie. And it is not just, you know, my opinion, it is opinion of Shastra. It is Shastric justification. And then he says, in 5 instances, a person is allowed to speak a lie. Those who are noting, please note, it is Shukracharya's philosophy. It is not the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. Strishu narma vivahecha vritti arthe prana sankate go brahmananam hinsayam nandatam syat jugutsitam. So he says, when some lady is very angry or the wife is very angry, so in order to pacify her, some, you know, word jugglery here and there is allowed. Somebody is not getting married for a long time because of certain reasons. Narma vivahecha. So in order to get that marriage accomplished from the boy's side or girl's side, you know, some little bit here and there is allowed. Like Prabhupada tells the story that how many times in India, when the marriage proposals come, there is sometimes discrepancy in what is spoken and what is communicated. And this was in 1977, Prabhupada is Vrindavan in his last days, and Prabhupada was still in such a joking mood. Prabhupada says there was this boy who was not getting married because, you know, people felt he is not educated or whatever. So one girl's party came and they said, what does the boy do? And the boy's party said, he's a doctor. So they said, very good. The marriage got over. After the marriage, the wife saw the husband wearing khaki clothes and going out. Said, hey, what kind of doctor you are? He said, I'm a conductor. So Prabhupada says, just see, this kind of things are going on. And he was telling some of his Western disciples, anyway, you won't understand these things because in the West, they don't even go to all these extent. So, strishu narma vivahecha and vritti arthe, sometimes to make money. So for getting a job or for making money in business, prana sankate, right? When the prana, somebody is pointing the gun at you and saying that, you know, hands up, I'll kill you. So very few will get the idea to tell him that I'm not the body, you know, or you are not the body, why you're getting into all this. So he may use some word jugglery or even speak some lie to get out, that is allowed. And go brahmananam hinsayam. If somebody is trying to kill cows or brahmanas, and when there is hinsa on them to protect that, you are allowed. Nanratam syat jugupsitam. So if you speak a lie in such cases, it is not sinful. This is Shukracharya's philosophy. So he's saying that you can speak a lie. What is the problem? You know, I'm not saying you have to be untruthful. You have followed all the vows very strictly, but give some concession. Rigidity is also not good. One must be flexible. Little bit is okay. So in this way, Shukracharya is making this kind of a proposal, but Bali Maharaj doesn't accept this. Balir evam grihapatir kulacharyena bhashita tushnim bhutva kshanam rajan uvacho avahito gurum. Balim eva grihapatir. So here is the controller of all the planets. Grihapatir, Balim. And he listens to Kulacharya, the Acharya, that is Shukracharya, his words. But he doesn't blindly hear these words. Tushnim bhutva kshano rajan. For one moment, he becomes quiet. And uvacha avahito gurum. Then he speaks. So tushnim bhutva, Prabhupada is giving purport. Why did Bali Maharaj become silent? Because according to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is bewildered as to why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepting, or Lord Chaitanya is asking Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that here is my god brother Govinda who has come and he has been ordered by my guru Ishwar Puri to serve me. Should I accept a god brother as my servant? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says that Gurur Agya hi avicharaniya. That Guru's Agya, Guru's order should be accepted without any thought. And then when he says that, gives quotation that how Parshuram just followed his father's order. And hearing that, Lakshman, he became ready to follow Lord Ram's order. He quotes all of these verses. So Lord Chaitanya accepts Govinda. So here, Guru has given order, but there is hesitation. Tushnim bhutva. And what is the cause of hesitation? Because the order of the Guru is not according to sadhu and shastra. And therefore, Gurorapi avaliptasya karyakaram ajanata utpatha pratipannasya parityago vidyate. If someone claims to be Guru, but doesn't give instruction according to sadhu and shastra, such a person can be rejected, according to Mahabharata. Utpatha pratipannasya parityago vidyate. So therefore we have this 3-point check and balance system. Guru, sadhu and shastra. And so here, Prabhupada writes in the purport that one must follow faithfully, but one must also analyze and deliberate. Chaitanya charitra shraddhaya shunayai jan yateka vichare tata pai premadhan. Kaviraj Goswami says, while hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shraddhai, one must hear with great faith, but also Yate Kavichare, one must hear faithfully, but one must also study analytically as to what exactly is this meaning and what is the purport and what is the understanding. So both faithfulness and thoughtfulness are important. So therefore here, he deliberates on this and says that this is not the conclusion of Shastra. Conclusion of Shastra is surrender to Vishnu, and he is telling me not to do that. Therefore, I reject. This rejection will come at a great price. And following the exact principle and following the vows will be very painful. But I have taken a vow that till my last breath, I will not break my vows. It may be painful, but I must follow the vows. So of course, then all the pastime which proceeds is in that direction of how Bali Maharaj is tested, is completely tied up by Vamana Dev after he covers all the two planetary systems completely with his two steps, and then Bali Maharaj offers his head. So the whole pastime demonstrates the non-compromising spirit of Bali Maharaj in devotional service. That yes, if you have taken a vow as a gentleman, fulfill that vow at any cost. Although the whole city in Kali Yuga and the whole world and the whole media in Kali Yuga may be filled with agents of Shukracharya who may try to tempt you not to fulfill that vow, or who may convince you and try to justify, you have already fulfilled the vow for a decade, 2 decades. Now, give some tax to me also. So therefore, he is glorified as someone who is extraordinarily powerful and exemplary. Agrani, the word is used. Agrani. Agrani means the topmost, like that. So on this most auspicious occasion, it's a very long pastime, not possible to cover in such a short time. On this most auspicious occasion of Vamana Dwadashi, let us pray to Lord Vamana Dev that he gives us the strength to overcome all the temptations which will be offered by Maya's agents, including the mind, which may force us to deviate from the path of pure devotional service, force us and tempt us to not fulfill our vows. And only by Lord Vamandev's mercy, we can get that strength to follow our vows, the principles of pure bhakti in the service of the Vaishnavas. Vamana Dwadashi ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaut Premanande.